You should have reached the other side of the bridge by now, and just on your right you should see the glass-panelled metallic canopy front of the Premier Inn Hotel. Walk towards it as Priam hurries towards his hotel, after escaping the events of his funeral.
Oh, there you are. I'm so sorry I missed you Saturday night.
Yes.
There was such a crowd, it was useless.
It was.
I knew it was useless. Mm. And you not having my address either.
Oh.
I wondered what you'd think of me.
Oh, Miss Chalice, how did you find me? And please, my dear lady, I can assure you I blamed only myself. My hat blew off. And well, no matter. You are here. And, won't you come in?
So, you are at this hotel, are you?
Yes. Let us take tea inside.
And they walk inside, seating themselves in the lobby, as you yourself can do, entering through the automatic doors of the Premier Inn and seating yourself on the maroon settee in the seating area to the right of the oak-panelled reception desk.
You know, I had a fine time getting your address. I wrote to the Fulham address, but got no reply, so had to take myself off there. And it was Mr. Duncan Fowles Clark that I saw. He's living there for the time being. A very nice young man. We got quite friendly. It seems Mr. Duncan Fowles was in a state when he found the will. Mm-hmm. The young man did say that Mr. Fowles broke a typewriter all to pieces, but the funeral being in Westminster Abbey consoled him. It wouldn't have consoled me. No, not a bit. However, the young man said he would ask his master if he might give me your address, and when he came back he gave it to me. I could have come yesterday, but I thought, on the whole, I'd better wait till the funeral was over. I thought it would be nicer. It's over now, I suppose.
Yes.
Right, relieved you must be. It must have been very trying for you.
In a way, yes it was.
And his hand nervously raises to adjust his neck collar. But Alice has already removed her gloves, and after quickly glancing about, leans suddenly forward and puts her hands to his neck and touches his collar.
No, let me do it. I can do it.
Oh.
There's no one looking. It's unbuttoned. Mm. The necktie was holding it in place, but it's got quite loose. I can do it. I see you've got two funny moles on your neck, quite close together. How lucky. That's it.
Oh, well, thank you.
I can see you must have been very upset. Though he's only left you £1 a week. Still, that's better than a bat in the eye with a burnt stick.
Yes, I suppose it is, yes.
I hope you haven't got to go on duty at once, because you really do look as if you needed a rest. And a cup of tea or something of that. Oh, I'm quite ashamed to have come bothering you so soon.
Duty? What duty?
Why, haven't you got a new position?
New position? What do you mean?
Why, here as a valet.
Oh, No, I haven't got a new position here, no.
Then why are you staying here? I thought you were simply here with a new master. Why are you staying here alone?
Well, it seemed a convenient place. It was just by chance that I came here.
Convenient place, indeed! I never heard of such a thing.
Suppose we go and have something to eat. I do want a bit of lunch, now I come to think of it. Will you?
What? Here?
Yes. Why not? Come on.
Alice glances around her at the 8 swinging glass doors that lead to the salle à manger of this grand hotel. Beyond this, she glimpses the room itself, steeped in a super-genteel calm, full of gowns and hats and everything that you read about in the ladies' pictorial.
No, I don't feel as if I could eat here. I really couldn't. Couldn't we go somewhere else?
Well, yes, I dare say.
We could have some tea here first. They do serve here in the lobby, don't they?
Yes, of course. Could we have some tea, please? Thank you very much.
While he orders them tea at the reception, Alice takes off her hat of red roses and makes herself more comfortable.
I'm not much for these restaurants and their over-grilled kidneys.
Oh, no. But I thought the other night...
I was very glad to go. The other night, to that place, very glad. But you see, I'd never been to a restaurant before.
Really?
No. And I felt as if I should like to try one. And the young lady at the post office had told me that one was a splendid one. And so it is. It's beautiful. But of course they ought to be ashamed to offer you such food. Now, do you remember that soul? Soul? It was no more soul than this glove is soul. And if it had been cooked a minute, it had been cooked an hour, and waiting. And then look at the prices. Oh, yes, I couldn't help seeing the bill.
I thought it was awfully cheap.
Well, I didn't. When you think that a good housekeeper can keep everything going on 10 shillings a head a week, then why, it's simply scandalous. And I suppose this place is even dearer.
Oh, this is a better place altogether. In fact, I don't know many places in Europe where one can eat better than one does here.
Don't you?
They say that there's no butter used in this place that costs less than 3 shillings a pound. And they have it from Paris.
And do you believe that?
Well, yes.
Well, I don't. Anyone that pays more than 1.9 a pound for butter, at the most, is a fool, if you'll excuse me saying the word. No, but what this is good butter, I couldn't get as good in Putney for less than 18 pence.
The tea. Now, don't say this is cold.
No, the pot is nicely hot.
Good.
But I shall tell you one thing that puts me against these restaurants. It's the feeling you have that you don't know where the food's been. When you've got your kitchen close to your dining room and you can keep an eye on the stuff from the moment the cart brings it to your front door, well, then you do know a bit where you are. I mean, where is the kitchen here?
Somewhere down below, I think.
A cellar kitchen? Why, in Putney, they simply can't let houses with cellar kitchens. No. No restaurants and hotels for me.
Oh, well, when you put it that way. I've never been in Putney.
Oh, well, it really is the most convenient place. You can travel.
And she informs him with
Putney,
ungrudging particularity, about Putney trains, and her life there. And this lovely shop. Gradually, there arises in his brain a vision of a kind of existence such as he has never encountered. Putney seems to Priam Fowl to approach the utopian. It seems to breathe of romance, the romance of common sense and kindliness and simplicity. It makes his own existence to that day appear futile and unhappy, striving after the impossible. Art? What is it? What does it lead to? He is sick of art, and sick of all the forms of activity to which he has hitherto been accustomed, and which he has mistaken for life itself. One little home, as Alice describes hers now, fixed and stable, renders foolish the whole concourse of European hotels.
I suppose you won't be staying here long.
Oh, no, I shall decide something.
You must have put a good bit by.
Oh, well, I...
Well, perhaps you haven't. Saving's a matter of chance. That's what I always do say. It just depends how you begin. It's habit. I've never really blamed anybody for not saving. And men, well. Now, what time is it?
Time.
Oh, I must be moving on home soon.
Look, it's just started raining outside now.
Oh, so it is.
Yes, why don't you have another cup of tea until it stops?
Well, yes, I just might. It can't last long. And it's always tea time for me.
more tea. Some muffins? Yes, I've ordered some muffins this time.
Now, Mr. Leake, it seems to me that we might go farther and fare worse, both of us.
Oh?
I mean it. I'm not gallivanting about. I mean that if you want my opinion, I fancy we could make a match of it.
A match? What do you mean?
Don't expect any fiddle-faddle. What I like is plain sense and plain dealing. We both want to get married, so it'd be silly to pretend we didn't, wouldn't it? And it would be ridiculous of me to look for courting and a proposal and all that sort of thing, just as if I'd never seen a man in his shirt sleeves. The only question is, shall we suit each other? I've told you what I think. What do you think?
Yes, I think...
Of course, you've got no home, I know. Suppose you come down and just have a little peep at mine in Putney?
Well, yes, all right then.
And they finish their tea and leave together for that handsome suburb. Take your leave of this handsome hotel now. Going through its automatic doors, turn right and cross to the other side of the bridge at the pedestrian crossing. When you've crossed over, turn to the next scene.